B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it is noon here on the Midday Show. Jason Martinez, Anthony is off today. I'll be with you today and tomorrow. Pat's alongside for both as well. 610-632-0975. We'll get back to the calls in just a minute, and then we'll give callers more bro codes to see if they are applicable. But right now, I think we're calling for the Nooner music, are we not? Yes! There we go.
You know who I am?
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah.
Oh, we're back.
Are we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're back.
Who?
Look, alarm bells are going off. Folks, we're back.
Okay.
All right.
Hello.
We got one story for you, and only one story, so we're going to make it count. Owl porn. Are you in?
Owl porn?
Owl porn.
Who's in it? Who? Who? Who's
I
in
see
it?
What you did there.
You
okay,
so if, you see what I'm doing there?
I'm continuing the story. If you're a guy, you can pretty much find anything on the internet to get your rocks off.
Beautiful. You're panning your meat.
But Facebook is not Lobster Tube, and they're having none of it. And by it, I mean owl porn.
All right.
Or so they thought. Zuckerberg shut down an owl live stream claiming that the owls breached community standards. All right.
All right.
So this guy set up this cam just to follow owls. That's it. He's got some owls in his
yard. An owl watching cam.
That's it, right? People like watching birds. Hey, we'll watch owls. Somebody hit them, breaching the community standards on adult nudity and sexual content.
You mentioned it, though, partner. He likes to slap around the beef.
Now, the man who set up the cam can't figure out why anyone would report the cam, but he's keeping it up for all the owl enthusiasts out there and the sickos that are into owl porn. So, yes, yeah, so Zuckerberg and his company shut this thing down thinking it was
some lead in your pencil.
Yeah, thinking it was some, like, adult nudity and sexual activity and all that. And in reality, it's just an owl.
It's like the video stream of the panda bear that's going to have a baby at some point. Or the...
Oh, panda watch.
The eagle. Or a giraffe that's going to birth a baby giraffe. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so that's all it was. And for whatever reason, they decided to hit it with this ridiculous...
It's cancel culture. They canceled the owl stream.
Panda watch. The mood is tense. I have been on some serious, serious reports, but nothing quite like this.
His career went downhill, huh?
What, Paul Rudd?
Is that who that is?
Are you serious?
What is that from?
It's from Anchorman.
I'm not a Will Ferrell guy.
What?
Yeah, I'm not.
Dude, be better.
I've mentioned that before.
No, but come on, that's a classic movie.
Yeah, Anchorman. I've never seen it.
And you're in the industry.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah, you're right. Paul Rudd's career has really taken a nosedive. God, what's he up to lately? Good call by you. Hey, stay in your lane.
It's 610-632-0975. That was good. We'll get another one tomorrow, I presume?
Probably not.
No, you did well. You did very well. It was a good story. Way to dig deep and find something good.
We're going to go off on a high note.
No, we're not.
Not getting one tomorrow.
No, we're going to have another one tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
All right, let's get back to the phone. By the way, Andrew Brandt from MMQB, also The Athletic, a great law professor at Villanova, is going to join us coming up at 12:45. I'm going to ask him about this Deshaun thing and what's the effect on... The ethical clauses in his, you know, boilerplate NFL contract, what the Eagles could do, what they should do, and what they will do. All those things sometimes tend not to line up. We'll see what happens, as we know from history. Let's go to, I think it's Blatine from Philly. Blatine, is that right?
It's Blatini.
Okay, Blatini. Okay. Your name deserves to be said right, so.
Yeah, so what's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Look, the whole Deshaun Jackson thing, I look at it like this. Nobody likes Hitler. He didn't even like black people. I don't like Hitler. You don't like it. Nobody does. But I think...
I don't think Hitler liked Hitler.
I know, right? I think what Deshaun was trying to do was trying to... He did quote the wrong person, but I spoke to plenty of black folks, and the first thing we got out of it when we read it was, oh, snap, Hitler even noticed. If we establish an identity of our own, we can actually be powerful people. And that's what the black folks... A lot of them that I talked to, that's how they looked at it and perceived it. We didn't even think about the first portion of it. And I know it's a bad, and he's a bad person, but I think this country as a whole don't get it, because when we sing the national anthem, a lot of black folks look at it the same way a lot of folks are looking at this quote. That's how we look at the national anthem. Like, this is a slap in the face. And like, we literally have statues of Christopher Columbus, who is Hitler-esque in our country. We actually support a day that supports this guy. And he's just as bad as Hitler. So I think the country don't get it. And I think this is actually kind of overblown.
I don't want to compare anybody with bad things they've done. It's not like a scorecard here. You know what I mean?
It's not. But but if we want to compare apples to apples, we are worried about. We got to get
that. But I want to keep you on real quick because, look, you can't be. You know, I'm trying to think of the right word here. You cannot try and move your thought process forward by using past hate as an example. You know what I mean? Like, you can't use Hitler or Farrakhan to try and move the conversation forward because you can't. You just can't. It doesn't move it forward. It's also
right.
Spewing hate, Latini. You know what
I mean?
You
definitely are right. But I don't like either one of those guys. I don't like Hitler. I don't like Farrakhan. And, but yeah, that's my time, folks. I just wanted to tell y'all, like, the way we took that message was a little bit different than how some other.
And I understand. I understand that. I don't know. I can't speak to how I would take it as an African American because I'm not an African American. You know? So you're in a different position than I am. So I can't speak for African American people and how they took it. People take it how they take it based on their experience. But what I will say is, no matter what, you can't be quoting vile individuals to try and move a message forward, especially in a time when we're trying to bring people together. Not just certain people, we're trying to bring all people together.
True.
All right, let me hit you with a bro code.
Yes, sir.
Bros start at least one fire a year, whether that's in the fireplace, a fire pit, you know, 5 gallon drum, you know, one of those big drums or whatever, 50 gallon drum.
I mean, I actually did it already this year, so
you checked the box.
Yeah, so I was out in Central PA somewhere, and we lit a bonfire. So
nice, yeah. So you're in on that one. I'm in on that one too.
I'm out.
You're not a fire burn. You're not a fire guy.
No,
you don't like to just sit by a fire pit and look at the fire.
I'm not. I mean,
it's mesmerizing.
I think I'm just scared of fires.
Okay, but you're containing it. You have a fire pit.
You hope you're containing it.
Anything that is enjoyable with a beer, you're not in on.
How often
do you play beer league?
Not well.
Well, I know that, but
like, what do you mean? Like, how do I? Like, what? How am I invited?
Yeah, like, do the boys on your team have, you know, beers in the locker room or the parking lot or at the bar after the game?
Yeah, I'll bring a Coke or a Mountain Dew.
You hang out?
Yeah. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I go to the bar.
Fire starter. The Prodigy. Good job.
Yeah.
You're really clicking on all cylinders today. Richard in Narstown, or Narsville, excuse me, is on the Fanatic. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Jay. Great to have you back a little bit, brother.
Thanks, man.
A nice sprinkle.
I'm good in smaller doses.
you were missed, man. And thank you for bringing back the Nooner, man. That was a great job, Pat.
Yeah.
Well done.
I agree.
Jason, I think that there's going to be a lot of bumps and bruises through this process. I think that we're having the dialogue and we're having the conversation and it's starting to go in a positive direction. And I think that our culture, the way we are, we respond and react so quickly to people and what they do and how they talk that we don't get time to really process it before we're appalled or whatever. Where I'm going with this is I think that there are people going to say things that they need to be re-educated about. You know, before social media, you would say something, you would hear something, you would read something, and then you would be like, hey, I'm going to use that in my next conversation. And then someone would be like, dude, you really don't know what you're talking about. And they would fill you in, and you'd be like, oh, dude, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, a lot of times we react without really looking at it, thinking first. Look, we are a very reactionary society. And you react very quickly, which is why it's always good in any response to something like this, or even when you post something like this. Like when your boss sends you an email and it's like criticizing you, and you just fire off right back because you're mad, right?
Right.
If you fire that off to the boss, you're probably not going to be, you know, conducting yourself professionally. So sometimes it's better to write that email, send it to yourself, look at it the next day.
Well, Jason, you're talking about, again, just a regular basis of functioning in life, being able to, again, process and then react.
Yeah. That takes maturity.
It does. And one last thing, I think it does need to be said that the FOI is the fruit of Islam, which is also known as the five percenters, which is the smallest percentage of a sect of Islam. But mm-hmm. it's the complete opposite of what Islam teaches. And I don't think that that should be overshadowed. I do think that that, again, is something that needs to be analyzed and looked at, that it's not like the Black Panthers, where it's a movement and moving the culture in the right direction or something positive to lean back on. This guy teaches dissension. He teaches a lot about separation and dissension, and forget about the groups and the cults that he doesn't like or speaks against. He teaches dissension, and I think that that's a big part of this, and that's something that I think Deshaun does know. I think that he is, isn't because of his relationship with the NFL, can't come out and say, hey, I'm a part of this. So I think that he in retrospect, after conversations he had, they were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, this is what I'm about. And they're like, yeah, no, this isn't what you're about, man. You got to correct this and fix this now.
The problem is then today he likes the post, saying that, he shouldn't have had to apologize.
Well, that's the other thing, too, real quick, Jason. You know, man, I like stuff and people like stuff. That's kind of safe. He can like that. It can mean a lot of things. And then again,
in this situation, the timing of that is horrible.
I think the time for black people apologizing needs to be over. You know, it's a part of our mindset and our culture. It's just the way we think.
Yeah.
We do it unconditionally.
I got to move on. Thanks for the call, Richard. Great stuff. Look, if you do something wrong, you should apologize, but only if you mean it. And his half-ass apology, talk about Pat's half-ass nooner, Deshaun's half-ass apology was not good. And then to go on Instagram thereafter, after multiple apologies, and like a post from, again, I'll read it for you. Dr. Umar Johnson tweeted, I'll read it in its entirety so you can hear the whole thing. He posted a picture of Deshaun with the hashtag #WeStandWithDeshaunJackson. And he said, Black people don't have a history of attacking anyone. However, whenever we exercise our right to free speech, not necessarily a constitutional right, but a God-given right, we are accused of, quote, attacking other groups. These same groups who feel so offended by words do happen to have a history of enslaving us, oppressing us, miseducating us, and denying us access to wealth. And then he says, I pray for the day Black men have to stop apologizing for what we say when others don't even have to apologize for what they've done. So, look, I pray for the day when Black men have to stop apologizing for what we say. And Deshaun liked that. So, to me, that makes his half-assed apology null and void. 610-632-0975. Rashawn in Atlanta is on the Fanatic. Hey, Rashawn.
Yep.
How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good.
Good. You're on the air.
Oh, sorry about that.
No worries.
Yeah, fellas, I just wanted to comment, maybe a little unpopular, but just like coming on the two last calls. There is an element of African American unity that I think is frustrated and upset because we see how people react with something like Deshaun said. And so while we may disagree and we don't agree with Hitler, we are tired of the hypocrisy. So I heard people compare Minister Farrakhan to David Duke and compare Jeremiah Wright to Hitler and all types of stuff. And they're really not comparable. But because we never get the empathy to understand where we're coming from. So just like Drew Brees, you want us to be patriotic, but when my grandfather came back from World War II, the ignorance and racism he felt that destroyed businesses that he tried to create right in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
But then you expect us to look at it a certain way and be empathetic. Well, there's a certain amount of frustration, particularly in this time.
Yeah, there's a lot of, for lack of a better term, Rashawn, there's a lot of scar tissue, right? I was thinking about this earlier. It's like when O.J. got off. Like, most of us believe that O.J. committed those crimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when he got off, it was, hey, the Black man finally won one. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Nobody we did not like O.J. Matter of fact, before that, O.J. was seen as quite a sellout. But
yep.
What it represented was, back at you now.
Yeah.
Back at you. We could care less about O.J. and could care less now. But it was like, how does it feel? And so because the topic of what we're talking about is never the empathy of where Deshaun is coming from. What is in his lineage that has made him upset? What had he heard growing up? What did he see? Because you can't relate to that. So when he says something like, you see hate Jews. We don't hate Jews. That's why when you see somebody, maybe you're familiar with Cornel West. And so Cornel West is the complete opposite of the spectrum from many of those guys. But he said, I will not denounce or speak badly about Farrakhan. He is my brother. Because as African Americans, we understand the difference in speech and perspective. I've always had to vote for most of my family. You voted for the lesser of two evils. You always had to find a way to be comfortable, to understand in this country. So now we're here and people are like, no, I don't want to apologize. I need you to understand why I'm upset. I need you to understand
The problem here, though, Rashawn, and you know what it is, it's real simple. It's when you quote Hitler, this isn't breaking news. You don't quote Hitler.
No.
Because no matter what your message is, no matter where you're coming from, what your history is, exactly. It overshadows everything. It's wrong. It's bad on every level. Let me give you a bro code, all right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and you got to tell me whether this is a good, still applicable, all right? A bro doesn't sing along to music in a bar.
What type of music?
Whatever's on the jukebox, I guess.
No. I mean, you know, bros will sing, you know, certain songs, rap and everything, but if it's like a girl song, or you shouldn't be singing in falsetto.
So you're not singing like Britney Spears' Whoops, I Did It Again?
No. You can't do that.
Okay.
But I mean, DMX comes on or somebody like that. They do it all the time.
So if I get a little Eric B. and Rakim.
Yeah, maybe that's a little better, but no.
Paid in full.
Britney Spears.
Nah, okay, yeah, I agree with you on that one.
And don't look at me when you're singing it either.
Yeah. give you the eyes. Thanks, Rashawn.
I bump both.
What, Britney Spears?
Man,
Eric B. and Rakim?
A banger's a banger, man.
Yeah.
You know?
You're never in a bar, so this doesn't apply to you.
No, the last game I had before the pandemic, I went to the bar with a couple of my teammates. They were filming me singing the songs. I was getting into it.
Oh, my God.
I was getting into it. It was like NSYNC. Someone on the jukebox was playing NSYNC and Britney and the Backstreet Boys, and I was jamming out, man.
Can we put you in a controlled environment and get you legally intoxicated?
Well, you know, down the hall at Preston Stevie's do drunk day.
So. No, I mean, can we just do that with you? I don't want to do it on the air or anything. I just want to see what you're happens? Like when you are...
What am I, a lab rat to you?
Yes.
How much
I just
paying?
Want to see what you're like when your inhibition's gone.
How much you paying?
I'll pay for your drinks.
No.
It's going to take you like two beers.
That's not worth it. This has become part of my brand now.
Come on, man. Go off brand.
No, switching topics, though. It is OJ's birthday.
Oh, it is OJ's birthday today? How old is OJ?
I don't know.
All right.
I didn't look that up.
I want to see how... Old OJ, he's got to be up there. I mean, geez, he played in the 70s. OJ is 73 years old today. Orenthal James Simpson.
And he's out.
Crazy. Let's go to Dave in North Philly on the Fanatic. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm all right. I just wanted to chime in on the Deshaun Jackson situation.
Sure.
Obviously, what he said was very idiotic. And... You know, there's no way around it. But my thing is, it's just with the bias in the city. Wrong is wrong, and two wrongs will never make a right. But,
totally agree.
But it makes it even, and it's kind of balanced. Because as a black man that was raised in a third world country, like, it's kind of different. And I've traveled the world. Like, I have friends that play overseas, and, like, I've been in other places where, like, outside of the U.S., we're not that... Very, like, we're not welcome to say. So my thing is just, the Deshaun Jackson situation is bad. Bad on all fronts. There's no defending that. As a black person, we have to empathize with that because our ancestors went through something similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to say that was just kind of, but then again, it's just like, I don't know what the man is thinking. But my thing is just, the bias in the city is just like, I understand it was wrong. Yes, the owners are Jewish. But we can't make excuses for Riley Cooper saying, oh, it's Chip Kelly this, it's Chip Kelly that.
I don't think anybody's making excuses, Dave. I think a lot of the fans wanted Riley Cooper gone for what happened back in 2013. I was one of them. I thought he should have been cut out of here.
But he wasn't gone. And my question is to some people, is just, with the whole Riley Cooper situation, while it happened, did anybody's love for the Philadelphia Eagles waver? Did you love the team less? Did you stop buying tickets? No, you did not.
Well, look, we can't speak for everybody. Maybe some people did. And maybe a big reason why some people didn't, though, too, Dave, was the fact that a guy like Michael Vick stepped in and said, I'm going to manage this situation. I'm going to find a way to make this a positive. and the way he handled it and brought his team together, kept the team together.
Michael Vick was different. Michael Vick, you know, acted like a mature adult because outside the dog situation, we didn't really have nothing bad to say about Michael Vick and the whole Michael Vick thing.
Well, I mean, look, there's Eagle fans that stopped going to Eagles games because they signed Michael Vick.
I mean, yeah, but we live
there were protesting the whole thing.
But Vick wasn't even there. Like the whole Vick situation, his brother.
He was. You know what happened with the dogs and everything. He tortured dogs.
There were protests outside of the link for 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, and PETA and just people, they all did. But Dave, my point is, there's no scorecard here. Because they screwed up and didn't handle Riley Cooper correctly doesn't mean that they shouldn't handle this situation because there's a scorecard.
Do you understand the optics of that, though?
Yeah,
how
I do.
How that would look.
Totally.
And it would look really bad.
Yeah, and they cite precedent. You set a precedent that you let a white player use the N-word in a very aggressive manner, mind you, at a concert. And you let him get away with it.
And by the way,
and now a black man posts something on Instagram, citing Hitler and Farrakhan, and you want to have repercussions? Like that doesn't seem fair. But
and I don't mean
to me, there's no scorecard.
I don't mean to put this on the field perspective because it's more than about what they bring on the field, but also in a way, it's not. I mean, I think Jimmy Johnson or it was Bill Parcells, one of the two, was quoted as he cut some 7th-round running back for falling asleep. And he was asked, what'd you do with Emmitt Smith? No, because one's more talented.
Yeah, one means more than your success or failure.
And when you kept Riley Cooper after what he did, who was giving you really nothing at the time on the field other than special teams, but then you turn around...
Well, they also lost Jeremy Maclin in that training camp when that came out.
Still. Yeah. I mean, they've dealt with bad wide receivers before. I mean, keeping a guy like...
Yeah, that's
him,
selling out.
It's tough to make that argument and then cutting DeSean Jackson when he actually is a very, very good football player when he's on the field.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be a part of it, but I think it is.
It always is. Why did Ray Rice not get another gig? Because he was gassed. He would have got another shot in the NFL if he still had a lot left in the tank. Absolutely. We've seen that. You've seen a ton of players through the history of sports. Bad guys, right? And they keep getting signed to contracts because they can help that team win, and they're in the business of winning and losing. You know, selective morality is always in play in sports, whether that's with owners, GMs, because their job is to win, and if they don't win, then they're out of a job.
That's a great point. I mean, Ray Wright, we're all about second chances in sports as long as you can help the team.
Yeah.
And if you can't help the team, you're not going to get a second chance.
Well, I mean, you remember Joe Mixon in the draft dropped because of that incident at that restaurant while he was in college.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tyreek Hill a few times.
And we have selective morality as fans, too. Like, we can sit there and rip the Cowboys for signing every criminal this side of the Mississippi, right? But if the Eagles do it and it's a guy that can help them, well, he deserves a second chance. That's selective morality. Because we watch sports to watch our teams win. And when it's easy to dig on the Cowboys for signing a scumbag, and then we sign one and go, well, is he really that big of a scumbag? Start making excuses.
Yeah.
Because we see the upside that he can bring.
Well, you know, he said he was sorry. And
yeah.
I mean, the UFC
everybody
got it.
Deserves a second chance.
When the UFC signed Greg Hardy, they got it. And they're still getting it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'll tune in just to see that guy get punched in the face because he's a complete POS. I just enjoy watching him getting punched in the face. But I'm guilty because I'm now watching that product because of him.
Yeah.
So you're
supporting it.
Yeah, exactly. I need to look myself in the mirror with that.
610-632-0975. Andrew Brandt from MMQB, The Athletic, great lawyer mind. And he always tweets out the saying, there will be lawyers. And there could be lawyers involved in this DeSean thing right now if that's what the direction the Eagles are going. We'll find out. 610-632-0975. It's Jason Mertedis. Anthony off today. Pat Egan along for the ride. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up in just a little bit, about 15 minutes, we're going to talk with Andrew Brandt from The Athletic and the great law professor at Villanova University. 610-632-0975. By the way, sports are returning. The MLS today, and the Union got a 1-0 win over New York City FC. Alejandro Bedoya with the lone goal of the game.
It was almost 2-0, but the guy went all sides.
Yeah, I saw that. So sports coming back. Last weekend, I was watching Formula One. Now, I've never watched Formula One before.
Now, have you watched the Netflix show?
Okay. That's why I watched it.
Okay.
The Formula One show on Netflix was fantastic. Fantastic. I loved it.
Let me ask you, have you ever seen the movie Rush with Chris Hemsworth?
I have it saved at home. I have not watched it, but...
That was probably my favorite movie.
I
think it came out in 2013, and it's incredible.
Senna, the documentary on the great F1 driver way back when. But so I watched that two seasons of the F1 show on Netflix. So I saw a Formula One race was on. It was being replayed at the time. I think it was on Sunday night when I watched it, or Saturday night. And, man, it was crazy. I loved it. I got totally into it.
So now you kind of hooked?
I'm kind of into it.
Is that a good thing about the pandemic? Is you've been able to you've been forced to try to find newer
other
sports
options
that you weren't necessarily going to be into?
Well, now I know like the dynamics of F1, where there's, you know, two cars per team. There's 10 teams. There's 20 cars, and you know all the infighting with teammates and all that stuff from watching the F1 series.
Yeah.
So I know all that backstory, and I know who some of the drivers are from watching it. And then a guy, you know, that was in second place ran a guy off the track and got a 5-second penalty. So he ended up not finishing second. It was a crazy finish. Maybe it was just a great race. And I think it was in Austria.
Yeah, the only one I know is Lewis Hamilton, because he's apparently...
That was the guy.
The best
that
one.
That got the penalty. Yeah.
He's apparently the best one. So there's a new Netflix
Drive
show.
Drive for Mercedes.
It's on Netflix, and it's about a half hour or so, and it's called Home Game.
I saw the thing for it.
Yeah, and the first episode is... Real Sports has covered this sport before, but it's this Italian sport that is basically rugby mixed with MMA.
Yeah,
that
nuts.
Is so brutal, they only do it once a year. And wherever you're from, you're born into that color. So they have red, white, I think blue, and
so you can't
I
be a Cowboy
green.
Fan and live
no, you can't. And it's a pride thing. It's a huge pride thing. But these guys train all year for this one tournament. Where it's brutal. I mean, there's literally fist fights breaking out.
Wow.
And it's huge over there. It's called Calico something. But the first episode's on that, and that'll hook you. And then the second one is on the Highland Games over in Scotland, where they're, you know, they're throwing trees and whatnot. But
it's
cool. It's a cool look at other sports that we don't necessarily really hear about over in America, but they're huge elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be inundated with the North American sports leagues here very soon, as it's been 119 days since sports have been played. 15 days now to the Phillies starting up, 22 days roughly for the Flyers and the Sixers and training camp. Crazy. I got a DM from a guy, Z Sal, on Twitter, and he said, "You can't be serious. You're picking and choosing what you want to hear." And I DM'd him back and just said, "Regarding what?" And he said, "The Dr. Umar Johnson quote that I keep reading, you're putting a lot of attention on the last sentence of that quote." Now, I told him, I said, "I've read that quote, the entire quote, on the air several times, but the lasting message is that Deshaun liked is the part about not having to apologize." And he said, "I know you've read it, but more focus on the last sentence of the quote. If you're not willing to talk about the whole quote, it shouldn't be talked about at all." All right, so let me read the entire quote again. And this is from Dr. Umar Johnson, who hashtagged it, "We stand with Deshaun," and there's a picture of Deshaun Jackson in an Eagle uniform. And he said, "Black people don't have a history of attacking anyone. However, whenever we exercise our right to free speech, not necessarily a constitutional right, but a God-given right, we're accused of, quote, attacking other groups. These same groups who feel so offended by words do happen to have a history of enslaving us, oppressing us, miseducating us, and denying us access to wealth. I pray for the day black men stop having to apologize for what we say when others don't even have to apologize for what they've done." Now, look, the entire quote, there's a lot in there. There's a lot to unpack. And the guy who DM'd me, I appreciate your DM. And you're right, there is a lot there. And there's a lot of things up for debate that we could talk about. But the lasting message of the quote, "and we stand with Deshaun Jackson," and the fact that Deshaun liked it, is the crux of the quote is that, "I pray for the day when black men stop having to apologize for what we say." Now, Deshaun either didn't read the whole thing and doesn't realize that part's in there and liked it, or he saw that and liked it anyway. And he's got to realize that after multiple freaking apologies for posting Farrakhan and Hitler on Instagram and trying to convince people that you're truly sorry and you want to educate yourself, you don't like that post. All right, the guy wants to stand with you. But again, "I pray for the day when black men stop having to apologize for what we say." Like, you know why I'm accentuating that part? Because that's the message. That's the message of the entire quote. Context is the other part, the first part that I read about it. And when you post Hitler and you post Farrakhan, sorry, you've crossed a line. Again, it's a simple rule of thumb. Don't post Hitler. Okay? This isn't complicated. Let's go to Matt in Abington on the Fanatic. Hey, Matt.
Yo, guys, what's going on?
What's up, man?
I'm not going to defend. I think he should have been gone when he did what he did.
Who did you say? You dropped out for a second. You meant Cooper?
Yeah, Cooper.
Okay,
he should have been gone. I was all for it. I had nothing wrong with it. The problem with that was the organization had a problem with it at the time. I mean, if they went and got rid of Riley Cooper, and I think Macklin got hurt that same time.
Yeah, he blew out his knee. He was gone for the year.
They would have been looking for a grounds crew to go out there as receivers. So I think the organization played a part in that, saying, hey, you know what? Maybe we got to kind of cut a little slack here and help ourselves here. But as far as D-Jax goes, I mean, Cooper, he said something out of anger when he yelled it out to the crowd like that.
In an aggressive manner, right?
It was Deshaun was premeditated. My man had the opportunity to read it, to reread it, to copy it, to paste it, and then to say it. I mean, it was all premeditated. Like, he knew what he was doing, you know, and he had time to think about it. This time, I mean, Cooper really didn't think about it too much. He just blurted off the top of his head, you know what I mean?
That's where I'm trying to figure out how to move forward in the situation and what the punishment should be for it, because you're right. He had the fact that an alarm bell didn't go off in his head when he posted a screenshot of a quote that was attributed to Adolf Hitler. To me, if that doesn't set an alarm bell in your head, like, you can claim ignorance on a lot of things and what people stand for and go, I didn't know he was involved in all that. But you can't claim that when it comes to Hitler. And if you are claiming that, then I can't have you around.
I think he struggled with comprehension. I do. I mean, if you want to say, you know, that you're apologetic for not comprehending what was said with Hitler and posting it, then so be it. But now you're not even comprehending the extent of what you've done. And now that you're quoting Farrakhan, and now you're not comprehending that. Like, you're just missing a lot of comprehension right now on what's going on. And you're just not reading things. You're not seeing things, the way you should see them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you're spreading hate is what you're doing. Let me give you a bro code, all right? Tell me if this is still applicable. A bro never wears socks with sandals or slides.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still applicable. Yeah.
That's still applicable. You think that's not a good thing?
Nah.
Okay. I get it's a bad look. Thanks for the call, man. I get it's a bad look, but I'm guilty. I wear socks with slides all the time.
What are you doing?
Well,
you've given up. Yeah, you're married with three kids.
I have. You're right about that. But that's not even the reason why. My feet are destroyed. From all those years in skates, they're destroyed. And it feels good when you get off the ice to just put your foot in a slide with the sock on it. It just does. It's comfortable. I enjoy it. Again, it looks ridiculous. And a person in my position cannot be made to look ridiculous. But I do it. I'm guilty. So maybe it is I'm violating a bro code, but I have to admit that I do it. Tony in Doylestown's on the Fanatic. Hey, Tony.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. You guys are having a really good topic, and I'm really appreciative that you guys are saying. I'm agreeing with most of your points.
Okay.
Point that I just want to make is basically what Deshaun Jackson did was definitely reprehensible. And there should be some type of disciplinary action. But the thing of it is, with the Riley Cooper situation, which, like you said, two wrongs don't make a right. But we have to understand right now, in the time that we're living in, with the social injustice going on, if they cut him right now, I think it would do more damage as far as bringing us together as opposed to tearing us apart. Because everybody's going to cling to the Riley Cooper situation that he didn't get cut.
Yeah.
If Riley Cooper did what he did today, while all the social injustice going on and all the...
See you later, yeah.
It would be chaos in the streets right now if they didn't get rid of him. You know, so we have to be careful what we're saying about as far as Deshaun Jackson. And like I said, I'm a black man, and I'm appalled by what he did. I'm kind of embarrassed as a black man that he did that, because the times that we're dealing with right now with all this social injustice, it's just pushing us further apart, and that's not what we're trying to do right now. I personally have been a victim of racial profiling because of the kind of car I drive and the neighborhood that I live in, and I understand it, you know. But what everybody needs to understand is they're going to say, okay, we kept Riley Cooper after he did something apprehensible, but you want to get rid of DeSean Jackson. That's going to play right into it. Whether it's right or wrong, I don't think it's right, because like you said, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
But because of the time that we're living in right now, where people are getting murdered for getting pulled over or getting murdered for this, that, and the third by police officers, and all the social injustice that's going on in the African-American community, it's going to be chaos. So we have to be careful with that. We have to take that into consideration. No one's really taking that into consideration right now.
I think that the organization and Jeff Lurie would have to speak out if they decided to do that and move on from DeSean. He would have to address the Riley Cooper situation in his press release or quote, whatever it is. He would have to say, we made a mistake in 2013 and didn't, cut ties with Riley Cooper for his racist remarks.
And that is so true. And like me personally, if Jeffrey Lurie, who was a Jewish man, and I respect him as the Eagles owner, that's his business. If he decides to do that, then I can respect it. But there's going to be ramifications because of the Riley Cooper.
Everybody because the black man's going to feel, I don't want to talk for the black man because I'm not black, but you guys are going to feel like, hey, the standard's different.
But it has been.
Hit
it right in the head. It is. But the thing of it is, it's about the timing right now. This social injustice stuff that's going on is so relevant right now. And I'm not trying to be a smart guy because I'm black. If you haven't experienced it, you can imagine it. But to experience it,
I can't imagine it. I can't even pretend to imagine
it's appalling. There have been times when I've walked out of my house, I have to decide which car I'm going to drive. I have a piece of crap car, and I have a very nice car. And it's like, okay, I live in a good neighborhood. And I've been profiled a block from my house because of the kind of car that I drive. And that being said, with people getting killed, getting pulled over, and not making it back home, if this happens and everybody says, okay, well, DeSean Jackson, and don't get me wrong, what he did is apprehensible, and as a black man, I'm embarrassed by it. But that being said,
I got to move on, Tone. But yeah, I hear what you're saying, and you make a good point that if they ended up cutting DeSean after they did do nothing with Riley Cooper, would that create more outrage? And now the outrage is focused not where it should be either. The outrage is not focused on what actually happened in quoting Adolf Hitler and Farrakhan. It needs to. The only way they could do that, in my opinion, is if Jeff Lurie spoke out and fell on the sword and admitted they made a huge mistake in 2013 with how they handled Riley Cooper and take ownership of it. Don't blame it on Chip. Brett in Baltimore is on the Fanatic. Hey, Brett.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing good, man.
All right. So I actually just moved from Baltimore back in February, so I enjoy listening to you guys, getting a different perspective on things. So the Ravens are kind of my hometown team. I'm learning to love the Eagles now that they're like my new home. It's interesting to me how the whole situation's going to play out, given how you guys mentioned before the break, the whole thing with Ray Rice, how before anything happened, before the video came out, everyone was kind of willing to like see things and, take it in. I feel like as the culture changes, that first person to make that mistake kind of is put out there to pasture, to almost be like, hey, we can't do this anymore. It's almost more harsh than it needs to be.
As an example?
Like Ray Rice. So like, Kyle Apple, everything was cool. In terms of his background, nothing came up in terms of him being a bad guy. He had one incident, and then not saying that he, by any means, it was, okay. But, he ended up getting basically death penalty. Now, granted, his play was going down anyways. It's interesting to me how they're going to handle this, because it's like, obviously, given the culture now and given the situation with Riley before, you can't, I feel like, Tom was calling said before, you can't go back in time. And the only thing you can kind of do now is set a precedent going forward. But it's hard.
It's eventually you got to stop the cycle, right?
It's like
your parents were really bad to you as a kid, and then you become a parent. You go, well, am I going to continue to be that way? Because my parents were like that, their parents were like that to them, and their grandparents were like that to them before. Or are you going to blaze a new trail of being a really good parent and do things the right way? It's you're right. Eventually, enough's enough. Period. It's already been enough. It should have been enough's enough years ago. It hasn't been.
Right.
But we can't not punish somebody for something because we didn't punish somebody else, and it was a mistake not to punish the other person.
Exactly. And, punishment, my parents told me a long time ago, a fair punishment doesn't always mean an equal punishment. Unfortunately,
you're right. You're absolutely right. Thanks for the call, Brett. I appreciate it. You're absolutely right. that, look, all things are not equal. That much we know for sure. That's just absolutely the case. We're going to get everybody on the phones coming up in a minute. Everybody hang on. Great conversation. Like, look, I didn't wake up this morning and want to talk about some, you know, a heavy issue like this. But seeing how people were reacting on the airwaves and all those things, these conversations need to happen right now. And I recognize that. It's not what I prefer, obviously. I wish none of it would have happened. But it's where we are. So we got to talk about it. And I appreciate everybody's perspective today. And for the most part, other than that one guy who said, what did Hitler do? I think that we've had really good, healthy dialogue today here on the show. So I really appreciate that. Andrew Brandt's going to join us in just a second. All right, we just text him, just give him the number, and he can call us. Or we're having some issues with our phones. And we're going to talk to Andrew. There's a lot to get to with Andrew Brandt. I want to bring this up right away. I just saw this this tweet from Tom Pelissero, who covers the NFL. And the tweet reads as follows. NFL teams are going to be forbidden from post-game interactions within 6 feet of each other, and jersey exchanges between players will be prohibited during the 2020 season, sources say. Another way the NFL will look different in the COVID-19 world. All right, that just kind of hits me weird because they're just going to have played 60 minutes of a football game, tackling each other, blocking each other. And so that little interaction, high five and handshake after game or jersey exchange, that's going to be where the problem exists, if there's a problem. You know what I mean? Like, does that seem weird? That just seems weird to me. That seems off when I look at it. And I read the stuff from Malik Jackson earlier, who's like asking NFL owners, like, you know, we're not protected here. We don't have guaranteed deals. There's a lot of elements here. We're people too. We have wives, children, parents, grandparents. And for the NFL to step up and make sure that these players are taken care of. But I see that. Post-game interactions, they can't be within 6 feet of each other. The players that played the game and everything that went into it and can't exchange jerseys. You just played tackle football with each other for an hour. So I don't see what that accomplishes. Maybe I'm just naive and the transmission of the virus won't happen. All right, all right, I got him right here. Andrew Brandt joins us right now. Andrew, how are you?
Doing well. Good to see you, Jason.
It's great to have you on. I just brought up this Tom Pelissero report because he tweeted out that NFL teams are going to be forbidden and post-game interactions within 6 feet of each other. No more jersey exchanges between players during the 2020 season. Another way that the NFL will look different in the COVID-19 world. And it struck me as kind of strange, Andrew, because they just had played 60 minutes of tackle football against each other.
Yeah, I've been trying to be as confident as possible about the NFL. I'm having some worries lately. You know, the obvious thing that we haven't even addressed is how do you practice and play football in this environment with viral load, which highly transmissible disease. And you're right. I mean, the practicing and playing football is the opposite of social distancing. You can have all the protocols in the world. But this is a sport that's inherently violent, and every play ends is there's usually some physical force that's close range between two people, which is droplet exchange. So, I'm trying not to be crude. That's the reality of the game.
Yeah, that mitigating the post-game handshake and jersey swap doesn't really mitigate anything.
Well, I think what we're trying to do is thread a needle here. We've got a business worth $15 billion, and the last thing anyone wants to do is shut it down. But we've got a lot of hoops to jump through. There's negotiations now between the union on two fronts. One is the health and safety front, which is challenging for the reasons we just talked about. And that's the easy one. The hard one is the financial, which we've heard about 35% give back being proposed by the league to the players. That's going to be troubling. Players are going to resist. Maybe it's an opening offer. I knew this was coming. It happened in baseball. It's going to happen in football. These are going to be tough negotiations. All the while wondering if we can do this physically with the pandemic, with all these hoops you got to jump through. It's going to be a task.
Yeah, there's so many elements of the way these leagues are conducting themselves from top to bottom that And then the whole viability of it working in a league where they can't go to a hub city or a bubble location. The NFL is just not capable of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to bubble. So without bubbling, you're right. What are we going to have without bubbling? We're going to have interactions daily with family, with friends. Family's going to be interacting with older relatives, perhaps those with immunocompromised. And I've been at the league level meetings, and to me, as a lawyer, what these discussions have to revolve around is, what is the acceptable risk here? I mean, what is acceptable before we shut this thing down? Now, we know that young and healthy people mostly have good outcomes, but it's not about just young and healthy people if you're not bubbling.
Yeah, and you have coaches and executives as well that aren't in that.
Well, it's not only coaches. Have anyone watched an NFL sideline? About half of them are players. The rest of the sideline is all these different people.
Yeah.
And that's what I worry about. Here's the thing about sports right now is we got four leagues starting. Is anyone listening really confident that these four leagues finish? And at one point, you know, if, say, one of these leagues in August 15th says, we just can't do this anymore. We got too many infections. We got a problem. We're shutting down.
Is that March 11th all over again?
Yeah. And then the question is, does the NFL start in that environment? Is the NFL really going to start playing when, say, baseball is shutting down? That's where I worry.
Yeah, the legal implications of that as well. Every other sport shuts down, and you're going to try and forge forward. And then if something happens, you're in a really, really difficult spot. Andrew, let me move into DeSean Jackson, because we all saw the Instagram post and you know, quoting Hitler, which is obviously one of those things that you never do. And then the apologies that followed, and then also now liking this Instagram post for somebody, a Dr. Umar Johnson. And in the end of his quote, he says, I pray for the day when black men stop having to apologize for what we say. And the apologies seem veiled at best. How do the Eagles handle this situation with DeSean Jackson?
Yeah, a lot of layers to unpack here. And just, I know my experience, 10 years getting these calls in the offseason, usually it's about guys partying too much right before training camp and those unrecognizable numbers that come to you and you kind of cringe. I've told you those stories before.
Yeah.
This one's different, obviously, because social media is the world. Everyone can see it. It's not just finding about something you can keep quiet. So I'm sure Howie and Jeff got the call the other night, and it's obviously abhorrent. You've got to weigh the issue of canceling, you know, this cancel culture, terminate. This is too vile, too abhorrent to live with. Let's get rid of them. Versus weighing the facts, weighing the precedent, weighing what could happen to your team, all the different manifestations, including, let's be real, the football side. Hey, we drafted a receiver number one. We should be okay. Or the business side, hey, he's got guaranteed money, but is it offset? You think somebody will sign him? These are all things you got to talk about. What about our community relations? What about our sponsors? I was consulting the Eagles when they signed Michael Vick. Had a lot of discussions with outside entities about that. This is not easy. And the thing that complicates it, which everyone has commented on now, is Riley Cooper, where the enforcement and discipline was very lax. And DeSean Jackson was on that team, and DeSean Jackson may have felt that. So here we are. And what do you do? What do you do? I mean, I think there are a lot of discussions about termination versus nothing or something in between.
Did he violate any ethical clause in a contract, a boilerplate NFL contract?
Well, there is boilerplate about morals and ethics and bringing disrepute and ill will to the team, which you can certainly argue that he's done. And if they do terminate him, I would think there will be lawyers about not paying him that guarantee, yes. But I think time is DeSean Jackson's friend here, and I think the fact they haven't terminated him bodes well.
Andrew, let me ask you about the Ivy League canceling sports this fall. What is that going to mean for you know, Clemson and Florida State.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, how's this going to affect all these other programs that have not made any sort of announcement? They seem to be forging ahead here with athletes that aren't paid.
Well, we're already hearing from people around the Power Five conferences that, hey, they're different. They don't rely on those revenues. They are different. They don't have guys go to the pros, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, that's kind of a cop-out. What are we really saying then? We're saying that it's all about business, not about health.
Yeah.
Because as I just tweeted out, you know, it's the same human being.
Yep.
That the people that play for Clemson and that play for Princeton are from the same species. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think we know that Clemson and Florida State and Alabama and LSU are going to go through hell and high water to play. And unless there's some major thing that keeps them away from doing it, like shutdowns with all these COVID tests, they're going to forge ahead.
Yeah, it's amazing. Last question for Andrew Brandt joining us here. Andrew, let me ask you about the Pat Mahomes contract, because I know that certainly got your attention. You see a deal of that magnitude, great player, obviously, and you know a commitment of that long to anybody in the NFL is really interesting to me. What did you think of the deal and how it will play out ultimately, pending health, obviously?
Well, I've been very counterintuitive about the deal, and I know people have pushed back and always say, hey, it's $500 million. How can you criticize it? I get it. And that was the mark. You know, they were going to hit this huge number. Everyone's talking about the number. No one really looks into the deal except nerds like me. But having been in management, I mean, listen, they've got the best player in the league under contract for his life. When I heard that deal, I'm like, where's the optionality? You know, where's his ability to get out, opt out, like an NBA deal? Where's his ability to match other contracts passing him by, which will happen? None of that. Where's his ability to match the cap every year? None of that. Now, they just threw a ton of money at him. They didn't do any groundbreaking precedent. And he'll never hit free agency. And believe me, the market will pass him by.
Yep.
And to me, when you have a player upset like that in 5 years, that's bad. So I think the Chiefs are thrilled right now. I just wonder if they're going to be thrilled when he's not happy in 5-6 years.
Yeah, when you have an inferior player in the league making more money than you, and he'll get passed by in 3 to 5 years without question. Hey, Andrew, we always love having you on. I appreciate you coming on, the executive director of Morehead Center at Villanova. I read your stuff on everywhere, MMQB, The Athletic. You do a great job, and I appreciate you taking some time for us today.
My pleasure, Jason. Talk soon.
There he is, Andrew Brandt joining us. Always appreciate him coming on. A level of educated opinion that certainly surpasses myself and Pat. 610-632-0975. 3 hours done. One to go here. Anthony off today. It's Jason Martinez, Pat Egan alongside. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.